introduction and kind of to get us going. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, tell us, Paul is talking here, "I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, although he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons." I want to spend just a little bit of attention here this evening on the phrase of on the fullness of time, because it tells us that in the redemptive plan of history, what God did in sending Christ to die on the cross for the redeemed was not done on a whim. It wasn't done as a crapshoot of the roll of the dice or anything. It was done in a specific time and plan, at a specific time in space, in history, in linear time, however you want to do it. It didn't happen by accident. Part of understanding this time and the right time when God sent his Son is understanding a little about the cultural, historical situation. And we're just going to very briefly touch on this tonight. But several things had coincided in world history to really give a push, if you will, when Christ came for the furtherance of the gospel. Okay, everybody here has heard of Alexander the Great, for example, right? And they've heard of, you know, how by the age of, what, 33, he had conquered the known world and died, you know, then in despair because there were no more worlds left to conquer. You know, I'm not a historian. I don't know all the stuff with that, but you get the general idea. But after his death, his empire was split into, you know, four different pieces and divided among four different generals. But during the process, Alexander wasn't just a conqueror. He was also had this mission of, part of it was scientific exploration. When, you know, he went on his expeditions, he took scientists, botanists, people to categorize and catalog the plant and animal life they found along the way that they didn't trample over. And he in started this process that we refer to in history as Hellenization. This doesn't mean that everything was going to hell. It's quite the opposite. It meant that, in their sense, that it was a trying to mold the conquered territories into a Greek culture with its emphasis on beauty and symmetry and philosophy and poetry and all the rest of this. Part of that was the development of the Greek language, and that is why, for example, in Christ's time, most people would say Christ was fluent in probably at least three languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, and probably Latin, as a fourth. So there, the world back then was a little bit different. For whatever reason, and I think we maybe have hit on part of it, God the Holy Spirit saw fit to have the authors of the New Testament write their transcribes in Greek, in the Koine Greek of the day, the lingua franca, which was used for commerce, trade, everything else. It was a common, just street language. Not quite like Spanglish, but we might have something a little close to it. It would be just, common English we would use. How many of you guys have been to Germany, for example, overseas, any kind of academic situation? Germany, in German, and this is an example I think of, there's what they call a Hochdeutsch language, and it is a highbrowed German language. It is used very commonly today, primarily in governmental, university, formal settings. Okay, the commoners speak a local dialect, which if you think you took German in high school or college and you get over there and you might try to pronounce a word a certain way, and depending on what part of the country you were from, y'all were from, okay, we have the same things here, okay? And the Koine Greek, for all practical purposes, was just the local, not even local, it was a universal street language kind of trade dialect. It's, some examples that we can use from, everyday life to maybe we can kind of make this connection with. So that is a little bit about Hellenization. Why is this important? Well, I think we need to understand a little bit about the culture from where it came from, okay? And, it kind of gets into a little bit the words, the meanings, the things like this. For example, most of us have dealt with this word before.
Okay, this is Alpha, Gamma, Alpha, P, Eta, Agape. We've heard this all of our time. What does this mean?
Love.
Yeah, love. Sure, means love. Now, follow me on this one here. We have another word. Okay, told me last week we should be able to sound this out, but we haven't got that far yet. Theta, Eta, Omicron, Sigma. Theos. What does Theos mean?
God.
God, sure. Now, how many have heard, and you've probably all heard this if you think about it, that agape, for example, means God's love. A love in the only the way that God can get it. Yeah. I'm sorry?
Unconditional.
Yeah, sure. Unconditional love. It's probably more appropriate. The reason I'm bringing this up is that without understanding a little bit about where this come from, we throw a lot of things out in just kind of in vain. You pick up an example I can think of. There's an agape blank church that I won't incriminate here that uses this in their advertising. They take a little ad in the paper up in Rio Rancho and they'll say, agape, Greek, okay, God's perfect love. None of us would have any problem with that. But if you're an American pagan coming off the street, of what significance is the Greek to you? May as well be Klingon. Okay? Really, seriously. Because an average American pagan is going to look at this and say, why didn't he choose Chinese or Indian? You know, when I call computer services and customer service, I'm talking to somebody over there anyway. Why did they do that? Why did they go Greek? They have no comprehension of the cultural, historical significance and why God saw fit to put Christ in at this time. A lot of these thoughts are kind of disconnected, but as we go along and kind of work through this throughout the next 3 weeks after tonight, maybe we'll start to see a little bit more of this, at how, you know, some things that we just take for granted really have a root, and it goes down pretty deeply. I was going to give you a nice little thumbnail sketch of agape and what the theological dictionaries had to say about it. So I made the mistake of opening Kittle, okay, which is a 10-volume theological dictionary in the New Testament, after 30 pages of notes on agape from Kittle. You really don't have, you have an idea of where the word started from the Hebrew and all the rest of that, but you're still lacking for a little thumbnail definition, okay? So I was going to share that with you tonight. I'm disappointed to tell you I can't do that. So where are some of the words we're going to cover tonight? So for those of you that hopefully worked on your book and your alphabet last week, we're going to try to put that a little bit into work tonight. By the way, this is not an indictment on that church that takes that advertisement out. And I'm not trying to say that we need to make everything so user-friendly that, you know, you guys know the trend today, okay? What I'm saying is that what?
Use your mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think it needs to. I'd like the one last week a little better, maybe. But was this the one last week? I'm sorry. Been a rough week, gang. I think what we're saying, though, is when we are throwing out phrases and things like this, we need to be very careful as to where we get them from and what the reader or the hearer is going to understand with that. You know, if I'm an American pagan, like I said before, opening up the paper and I say, Greek for God's perfect love, is like, so what? Okay? There's just nothing that we can relate that to many times. Last week, we had a couple of questions I want to clear up just a little bit, okay? Before we start here. We had a question, and this is on your handout from last week, about the symbol for zeta, which we drew kind of like that. And then there's a symbol for sigma. And if you look at it, sigma has two signals. One of them looks like the bomb or the O with a tail on it. The other one is kind of like that. Okay? Now, if you notice, there's a little bit of difference, and I did not catch this when I went through and set this up on my computer, so I want to explain it to you now. The zeta symbol, make sure I got this right. Yeah, the zeta symbol and the sigma symbol, if you notice, there's a little bit of difference. This one has more of a little curl at the end, also goes below the line. The sigma really doesn't have the curl and doesn't go below the line. The computer symbols, when I inserted symbols, didn't have that differentiation. I remember when I did this several years ago. My new one does. If you want me to, I'll make out a bunch of little stickies and we can kind of put on here after that just to make sure we get it right. But, I hope you all get that. If you think of the, you know, if you're drawing in freestyle or just writing the symbol for sigma, as long as you make this the kind of the S and keep it within, you know, the half space that you would for a lowercase letter, you'll be fine. Okay. Also, we have something else that came. It didn't really come up. I kind of rediscovered this. We had a symbol for H that I said for the letter H, there really was no equivalent in the Koine Greek. It's true and it's not. The sound, this is not part of the sound in the Koine Greek. However, it is an uppercase eta. Let me make sure I get this right. I'm sorry. Yeah, uppercase eta symbol, which is pronounced as a long E, or a kind of A to sound. So if you're reading that, okay, and you come across this in your Greek New Testament, it's not an H, it's the uppercase of this, an A to sound. So I did not give you uppercase letters last week, but as you go through your vocabulary, you're going to start to discover some, and you're going to think, wait a minute, didn't we say that? And that's why we're bringing that up, okay? Any questions about that so far, Kay? Are we confused enough already? Yes. I am tonight. Oh, sorry? No, that's okay. All right, let's go over our alphabet from last week. And I'm going to erase this. I'm just going to draw them up here as they come up. I'm going to draw and just have you guys repeat after me, and then we're going to do a little bit of vocabulary. We feel okay with vocabulary this week? Can I have some fun with that? Hey, we'll have some fun with the instructor. Okay. So we'll do this in order, not to make it too confusing. All right. It's all the same. What is that?
Alpha.
Yeah, alpha, eta. A. I got it. How's it going? Right. And you'll see it, and it's okay to write it either one of those ways. If you that one we kind of like. Why is that? Sign of the fish. Yeah, that's kind of cool. So we can do that. Okay. Next one, gang.
Beta.
Remember the tail on the beta, okay? Gamma. And how's it pronounced?
Gamma.
G. Yeah. And how's this one pronounced?
Ng.
Ng. As in gang or angle. Got it. This is?
Delta.
Delta, yeah. And this is?
Delta.
And this is from last week? That's the Delta Airlines widget.
Delta Airlines.
Yes. That's the widget. That's copyrighted, by the way. We're going to jail. That's right. We're going to jail. Okay. This one?
Epsilon.
Pronounced as?
Eh.
It's a short E, okay? This one's a little harder to draw. Just did it. Yeah, I don't like that. That's a little better. And we call that?
Zeta.
And pronounce z. See it? Dz. Dz. And they use the word ads, which it's probably the only word they can think of. Yeah. But no, I had the tail on it last week. A little bit. That's the eta. That's when we just had the uppercase of which is what we call an H today. Heta, yeah. Eta and Heta, maybe. And this one?
Theta.
Theta, yeah. And this, okay, and the uppercase for that is kind of, so, kind of like a bored smiley face with no eyes. But you'll see that from time to time. Next one?
Iota.
Pronounced as?
I.
Or E. Mm-hmm. Usually it's an E. Sometimes it's I. It's short. Okay? And there is a... We'll get into that a little bit. This is a hard one now. K. Kappa, yeah, don't strain yourselves. Kappa, pronounced as?
K.
K. Right.
Lambda.
Lambda. Mm-hmm, as in L. That's your mu. Interestingly, anybody care to guess how the capital form of this is made, the uppercase?
An M?
Yeah. But you can see there's kind of a lazy. So if you think of it like that, you'll catch it pretty quick. This one?
New.
Yeah, new. New. And what did we say? Remember about floating news last week? About that, sometimes you'll find them thrown at the end of a word, and it just to make it flow smoother, and it doesn't affect the meaning. But you'll spend an hour trying to figure that out. Okay, so if you see that and you start spending a lot of time at, you know, kind of come back and ask yourself that question, you'll save some time. I never could draw that one right, but that's the next one after new. It's a Z. Yeah, it's an X sound. And after a while, we just get kind of lazy, and we just kind of draw it like that. And if you do that, people know what it is, too. Okay. That's another tough one.
Omicron.
Omicron. Yeah. And it's a shorter O. It's an ah-ter.
I think it's a spacer. It really only matters if we know what we're trying to say.
Exactly.
No one else is going to
Yeah, no one's going to see this. What is this one?
P.
P, right. What is this? Pi. Okay? There is a difference. There is a difference. Okay. This one.
Row.
Okay, and it's a R, but it's with a like roads, a slight H sound to it. Don't so when you go to write your P, don't write it like this. It's a common mistake that I have made many times. So you'll look at this and you'll just be writing a Greek or something like that to kind of catch a phrase, and you'll find yourself doing that for the P sounds. Like, wait a minute, no. Little difference. Remember that. If you can remember the symbol from very early on geometry, you'll be okay. That's about all the geometry I remember, by the way. Okay, row. Remember the roads sound, okay? The RH, kind of a little roll. This one here, the bomb. Yeah, and lowercase, same thing here. This one is found in the middle of the word. This one's at the end of the word. So same letter, just one's in the middle, one's at the end of the word.
They were trying to be confusing.
Yeah, they succeeded, didn't they? Okay, this one is?
Tau
is a T, as in Taz. And we have the U. Oops on. U is in unit. Almost gone now. That's the Phi, as in phantom. Key. And that's a K sound, as in chemical. Okay.
C.
And it's ps, as in sips, or sipsy. And this one here?
Omega.
And O is a loner, usually a long O. Okay with the alphabet so far?
Well, we got our
left. What's that?
We got our left.
All right.
Open book test.
Open book test, yeah. Test? Okay. Just a couple things here, and some of this is coming from Dr. Collins' material at Trinity. I don't have handouts on this because it's written, how have you. So I didn't feel free to make copies, and he's not available to take permission, but I'm using some of this as a teaching aid. So just to let you guys know, it's not all my doing. All right, vowels that are usually or always short, okay, the epsilon, the omicron are always short. Almost always short vowels, alpha, iota, oo. Okay, vowels always long, and omega, what do we call that? Epsilon and omega, eta and omega, excuse me. And sometimes, Okay. Sometimes long vowels. They say less than 1%. I've seen a little more than this, but we don't count either.
So these are all long?
Yeah, I'll go over it again in a minute. Okay. So these are short. Okay. Almost always short. Okay. These are always long and sometimes long. Help you a little bit in the pronunciation. So, okay, vowels always short, epsilon and upsilon. I'm sorry, epsilon and help me out, gang. Omicron, thank you. Always long, eta and omega. Okay, so when you see the omega, it's always going to be long. Always an O sound. Okay, almost always short, alpha, iota, and upsilon. Then sometimes long are the same ones. Every once in a while, you'll have a particular characteristic, and they'll be long for some reason. Okay? So if you want to write that down, go ahead. If not, I'm going to go ahead and erase that. Got one more little thing to cover. This one, it starts to get like a little bit of a grind. It's not necessarily exciting all the time. Okay, these are diphthongs, guys. What's a diphthong? Sure, and it's pronounced as one. Mm-hmm. Alpha iota has a sound as an aisle. It's pronounced as an I. Okay. The epsilon iota is also an I as in height. Notice I'm using English equivalents here. Omicron, iota, oil. It's pronounced oi. Oi, oi. Sorry, I lied. I used a German equivalent.
The first vowel affects the second vowel.
I'm sorry? I guess, yeah, and they kind of, I would say they work with each other. The alpha upsilon is an owl, as in kraut. The epsilon upsilon is a feud, eud, pronounced just like English. And those are close enough to the English to where, you know, they should be able to get it. Omicron upsilon has an oop. It's an oop sound. And upsilon iota is in sweet. So when you see the upsilon iota, it's going to be a wheat. Okay. So this one is going to be an I. Go ahead and say it. I.
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 Oi.
Ow.
Ow.
You.
You.
Ooh.
Ooh.
So we.
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 And then we.
That's French.
Yeah. Okay. Always one syllable. Always pronounces one sound. Sometimes you'll see a syllable break in an otherwise, you know, you would think it's a diphthong and it's not. I don't know that we're ever going to get that far in this class. It's just, but if you see it, again, don't be confused. I anticipate maybe someday somebody's going to, you know, want to go and take this a little bit further. So if you do, you can kind of remember some of these things, maybe plug them in as we get a little bit. Any questions so far?
Yeah.
Everybody got everything on diphthongs you want to know? Not that you need to know, that you want to know. You see somebody hanging up a piece of blank paper, and we know what that means. Diphthongs. They're also called that in English, by the way. But believe it or not, I didn't remember that until they told me that in Greek. So that's how much of my grammar in high school and college I remembered. Okay, what color should we use this time, Greg?
Purple?
I heard a purple first. Okay, it is. I find it's kind of amazing when you think about it. Part of, remember, we talked about earlier about Hellenization, was that the Greeks sought to, they sought a one-world government, one-world way of doing things. Let's just face it, okay? And part of that was the language, but a lot of what the language was, we have carried over to this day. You guys already know a lot of Greek words, and maybe you don't know it. So what we're going to try and do tonight is take some of the Greek words that we know and use, but we're going to spell them out in the Greek, and we're going to make the connection with the English, okay? From there, we're going to slowly start to work to build your Greek vocabulary. We're going to do this, and one of the last things we're going to do is throw a verb or two at you. Right now, we're just talking Greek words and primarily nouns, but not all of them, okay? We're just talking, you know, things and just events, and, you know, they could be, it's just kind of a mixture. There's a couple we're going to concentrate on next week, all right? So, now look at this, it's just kind of a mixture, so we're just kind of, you know, see where we go with it. And toward the end of it, we'll give you a verb or two that we're going to work on. Those would be the ones to concentrate on, I hate to use this word, but memorizing. Because next week we're going to get into verb structure a little bit, and we'll be building our verb structure off the one or two words we are going to deal with tonight later on. Okay, the ones we're giving you right now are kind of just to build your vocabulary. It's an exercise in Gee Whiz more than anything, but you'll be start to surprise how this kind of clicks along a little bit. Okay, now at the end of this class, you won't be able to go through Hebrews, gang. Sorry. Okay, in Greek and figure it out. There's still some words in there that the author of Hebrews made up. And they are found nowhere else in Scripture or in Koine Greek language. We have the root. You know, we have the dictionary, the lexical root of those words, for example. We have stems and we have addendums to the end of the word. And we know what he means because, you know, one of the rules of interpretation is context. The second is context. The third is context. But we don't know where that word came from. All right? You won't be able to go through and do that. What we will do, the fifth week of this, is we're going to take a verse or two from the book of 1 John. We're going to go through that, and we're going to parse that and take a look at it and kind of translate that for us. That should be real fun. So that's where we're going with this, okay? I'm going to spell the word out, and we're going to see how this works. And as I spell it out, I'm going to, you know, go ahead and, you know, don't blurt it out beforehand, but we're going to kind of work through it and give us the English equivalent, okay? So, this is an accent. I'm just going to put it there. All right. So what we got here, gang? Baptizo. Yeah, baptizo. Any idea what that means? Yeah, it means baptized. See, I told you it was going to be easy. I told you guys knew this stuff. This is another one. Now, remember this from last week, this little backwards little C? Do you remember what we said that was? That's a smooth breathing mark. That's correct. The rough one is the little forward C. You will see the breathing marks on top of a vowel when it starts a word, okay? Generally, you'll see them other places thrown in there, okay? Let's sound this one out. So remember, the breathing mark is just like it's a glottal stop. It's a placeholder. You don't pronounce it. But let's see what we got here.
Ethnos.
Okay. What comes from there?
Ethnic.
Sure, ethnic. See? Another one you thought you didn't know you knew, okay? And remember the breathing mark and the accent, ethnos. Okay, here we have the breathing mark again. Okay, Alpha. What's it?
Apostolos.
Mm-hmm. Apostolos. Yeah, apostolos. That's about as good as apostolos. Notice everything Omicron. Okay, we also have the sigma in the middle of the word and the sigma at the end of the word. Okay, what's the English equivalent? Sure, apostle. Okay, this one's a little different. And it would be pronounced, by the way, apostolos. Okay? And that's a little accent mark kind of helps you that. We're not really going to go into accents because we're just not. It's not as important to know them to read it as perhaps to say it. Okay? You can read it without the accents. You'll do just fine. So on the, but we're going to put them in here to help us with our pronunciation as we go through it today. Okay, what the circumflex tells you, all right, is that we have something happening different. That's what it means. All right, but if you notice, this is not the dot. We have a rough breathing mark over the iota. Now, what did I just say about breathing marks? When did we find them? Beginning, when started by a vowel. So we have it at the second vowel. Why is that? It's a diphthong. Exactly. It's pronounced as one vowel and treated as one vowel. So with the rough breathing mark, how is that pronounced? As a. So, but the grammatically, they could have put it here. It would have been less confusing.
So it's.
Yeah. Hey, ma. Hey, or hi. Is it the I? Hi, ma. Hi, ma. Okay. So, any idea what that is? Well, the word.
Hello?
No, hema means blood. You ever heard of hematology? Yeah, yeah. Okay. While we're at it, here's another one.
You need to take your tea out and put it out.
Which one? Tautology. Thank you. Yeah, I just wrote it in Greek, too. Thank you. that's not it. Okay, what is this word here? Let's sound this one out.
Logo.
Logo, yeah. Logo. Logo. So we get the logi. What does logo mean?
Word.
Word, yeah. So, for example, hematology in English, the Greek or the definition is a word about blood. You want the literal, you know, roots definition is what it means. So, okay, we looked at the one of the words earlier, ethnos. So if you had ethnology, what would that be?
The study of ethnic groups.
Yeah, study of ethnic groups, sure. And that's where all this stuff comes from. So anytime you have an ology, biology, zoology, in theology we have hamartiology, you know, soteriology, eschatology. They're all talking about a word about whatever that thing was, okay, whatever your subject matter is. So that's where the root from that comes from.
Randy, what is that, the arch over the diphthong again?
Oh, I think they just call this, golly, I think it's just a circumspect is what they called it. It's probably a more, yeah, mm-hmm. But yeah, and it doesn't really tell you that that's a diphthong. It just tells you there's something happening here.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the diphthong is just, it just is. Okay, and then the rough breathing mark, like I say, they drew it over the iota grammatically. You would have gotten the same results by drawing it out here. That's just the way they chose to draw it. I don't know why. And I'd be honest, I do not know how much of these are additions by translators and scribes to help with the pronunciation. You know, I really have a hard time seeing, you know, a fifth grade Greek student sitting down here and drawing his letters out with all this. Okay? he's going to draw them out pretty much, you know, like we did up here, without the accent marks and things, much as Hebrew does today. Okay. Move on. This one's going to be a fun one. We'll know this. Oh, no. There's one we didn't have. Okay, what we got here? So we have, did we say, we didn't say what that was, but we kind of went through it. We covered it just a little bit earlier. Yeah, it's an uppercase M. Yeah. Who said Messias? Messias. Now, I don't know, is the name Messias that you hear today, is that a derivative? I don't know. So what does this mean, though?
Messiah.
Yeah, Messiah. It's exactly that. So here again we have, in this case, we have double sigmas in the middle of the word, and we have the single one at the end.
Uppercase mu.
Uppercase mu. Yeah, to start out with. And remember we said the lowercase mu, really it's just kind of a lazy uppercase mu. But much smaller in scale. I didn't draw that the proper scale. But we've been working on that already. And this is Messiah. Words you already know, but you didn't know you knew them. Okay, this is another one. We're going to look at this. We'll need this one next week, so kind of write this down and highlight it, and we'll take a look at it as we go. Okay, which one is this here?
Gamma.
And is this the row or is this the P?
Row.
Yeah, remember, don't confuse it. So we have the alpha. So can we pronounce this? Grotho. What would that mean? We're on the right track. Graphing. And it actually means writing. So, grapho is writing, okay? This case, this is, I think this is first person singular present, and we need to remember that, but we're going to go into that in a little more detail next week. We'll be working a lot with this word next week, okay? So, make sure if you don't write down any other words, write this one down on a piece of paper to bring it next week, because we're going to have some fun with it. We're going to work through it, and you know, see how the various verb structures are put together with that. I think so. I think this is writing. Like, I am writing. But I'll correct that for sure next week to make sure. I've got it there, but I'm not going to go through all that and rustle papers and stuff. Here's another one. This one is a little more to it. Okay. Yeah, it's supposed to be. Sorry. I really tried to mess that up. On. What says this one? Yeah, TH. Throw. Throw. That is, that's an omega. Pos. Anthropos. Anthropology. Get the same word from it. It's actually, the word means man. So.
That's a long way to write man.
It sure is. I don't know what woe man would be. Woe anthropos. Yeah, we'll get there in the, yeah, much longer, right? Notice we have what we have here. Smooth breathing mark, okay, with an accent. So it's anthropos. Okay, we have the omega. As have the, also have the omicrons. We have both the O sounds using the same word, but long and short sounding O's. We also have again. No, we don't. Not in this one. I'm sorry. Never mind. Okay, here's another one. Okay, all we have here is an accent mark. So what's this one here? This funny looking guy with a crutch.
Lambda.
Lambda. How's it pronounced?
Lambda.
Uh-huh. So what's Yoda, right? Lee, and how is this one pronounced?
Lethos.
Lethos. Mm-hmm. Sure. And what's lethos?
Lethal?
Could be. It's more a stone. Yeah, not Petros. That's a different. Petros, that's a different one. This is lethos. You ever heard of a monolith? Okay, that's where it comes from. Okay. Sorry? Yeah.
Would that be the same
stone
and verb?
I'd have to look it up. I don't know. Don't know. As in to stone somebody?
Yeah.
Yes. Don't know. This one we've already kind of covered. Agape, which is? Yeah, agape, yeah, love. And this is not agape or agape, it's agape. If we had the epsilon here instead of the eta, it would be agape, okay? But in this case, we have the eta, so it's agape. Agape or agape.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Agape or agape. Okay. One problem with the mic and is as you're moving around, it's kind of hard to stay focused on it. So don't buy the tape for this one, guys. You'll be disappointed. New color. What color?
Orange?
Let's see. All right. Turn orange first. There's another one you know.
You do?
Yep, you do. Okay, how do we pronounce this? Parabole. 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 Parables. Yeah. Parables. That's where it comes from. It's almost a direct transliteration. This one we looked at earlier, just briefly. Theos, okay, which is?
God.
You guys remember the movie, the series Kojak from the 70s? Mm-hmm. What was the character's first name?
Theo.
Theo. Yeah. That's like many Hispanic families naming their children Jesus. I guess it would be the same. I guess the Greeks would go with this. No. That's one way to remember it, though. Uh-huh. Yeah. You say that like it's a bad thing, brother. This electricity is wonderful, let me tell you. Okay, what we have here, gang?
Kappa, which is pronounced. No mystery there, right? And what is this here? Very similar, but not the same, right? Cos? Cosmos. Okay. Yeah. Cosmos. Mm-hmm. And it is?
World.
World, yeah. World or cosmos. We get the same words from it. Okay. The word, the actual meaning is world. But we get the derivative is cosmos. We get cosmology. I don't know if we get cosmetics from that or not, ladies. Don't know if cosmopolitan. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, This one's not really tricky, but there's kind of a oh wow connection to it.
Now the pressure's on for us to go oh wow.
That's right.
That's right.
I'll tell you a story about that in a minute. Okay, this is the accent, this is the smooth breathing mark. Yeah, ego.
Lego my ego.
What does it mean? Yeah, the translation is is I.
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
Derivative, ego. You're talking about being an egomaniac. It's an I maniac. Okay. I don't know if we had the other word here or not. Christ says, for example, in is it John 8:58? He'll say, "Ego." He'll say, "Ego, I me," which means I am. This is the be verb. Okay, now it starts to come in a little bit. That's where it gets it.
Hmm. Very similar to Latin.
Could be. Yeah. I wish I knew more. I wish I knew any Latin. Okay. I trust you.
Not could be.
Yeah, I trust you. Because I know no Latin. I don't want to pick up from listening to R.C. Sproul tape. So. Yeah, I guess. The word Latin, yeah. I knew a guy named Bob Latin in the Air Force. Does that count? Okay, this one's a little longer, a little harder here. No, it's one word. Everything is one word here.
That's like man.
No. It might be, but it's in this case it's part of the word. But you would, it doesn't affect the meaning in this case. They might have put it in there eventually. Okay, you, this is a diphthong. You, eng. The ng. Gel.
Eon.
Euangelion. Euangelion. I think I heard the answer. Yeah, gospel or evangelism. So we talk about the euangelion. Okay. You guys may have heard Genesis 3:15 referred to as the proto-euangelion or proto-evangelium. That is where this term actually comes from. You may have heard that in classes on the fall, for example, when they talk about that and God's promises in Genesis chapter 3. I'm sorry?
It's been a lot longer in Greek. The words are longer.
Yeah, some of them are. Yeah. But for example, like with graphe, when we look at this next week, we'll see how just that one word can be changed, just tweaking a couple of letters at the end or at the beginning of the word to make it mean a whole phrase, for example. Gospel. Okay, here's another one that we don't know yet, but we're working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Christos. Yeah, remember that's the sigma in the middle, sigma at the end, omicron. So that's the key sound with the rho, Christos. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's a proper name, that's why it's capitalized. Yeah. Yeah. Any idea?
Bible.
Well, that's what we would say, this book.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a bibliography. Okay, get the same word about books. That's right. A word. Is that a redundancy or? Okay, what do we have here?
Pater.
Pater. Pater.
Father.
Father. Paternal.
Ah.
So we get paternal from the same.
Don't erase it yet.
Okay. If you guys need more time at the end of the evening to write, just say that, okay? Yeah, that's a row.
Pater.
It's a row. You're not saying row any more than you're saying R. You're saying er in English. Just name.
I'm sorry. O is not part of that.
No, it's just the name of it. Like R, the letter R. You know, that's our letter R. So, yeah. No, that's okay. Don't confuse me with English, son.
Okay, so that was father, correct?
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's where they got papu from. Greek.
Go where?
Grandfather is papu in Greek.
Yeah. Probably. Okay, I'll buy that.
It's all Greek to me.
It's all Greek to me. Okay, here's another hard one.
Mater.
And what would be?
Mother.
Mother, yeah. Maternal. Get the same. It's a little different. Now we have a new. This
Pneuma.
Is a new.
Yeah.
P-N.
Pneuma.
Pneuma.
Yeah. Pneuma.
No.
It is. It says Pneuma.
Spirit.
Yeah. Spirit. Mm-hmm.
Spirit. Breath.
It doesn't mean the same in German.
Okay. So back to pneuma for just a minute. We also get what? Pneumatics? Pneumatology?
Pneumonia.
Yeah, hopefully not this season. Yeah, anything with air. Also means spirit, means wind.
Breath.
And remember the first breath, exactly.
Remember, the first three rules of interpretation are context, context, and context. And the context will determine the meaning of the word. For example, if you see this word coupled with hagia, which is holy,
Holy
Spirit, you wouldn't necessarily say holy breath. What's this one? Thal-mas.
Athlamas.
Athlamas. Yeah, the I. And we get
ophthalmology.
Yeah. Yeah, you could probably build all sorts of stuff from this. These are the easy ones. Yeah, when you get to some of the really long ones that are better this, but it's not, it gets a little more challenging.
So that means I?
Yes, it means I. Mm-hmm.
What means I?
I, uh-huh. Okay. Everybody got these that want some? Yeah, I. No. Why is the word abbreviation so long?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Everybody's got their own thing, right? Okay, where are we at here? This is another fun one. Three letters, Bob. What game show was that? Okay, that's a new again. This is a sigma, upsilon, nu, alpha, gamma. Synagogue.
Synagogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
S-Y-N-O-G-U-E. Is it G-U-E?
Yep.
I don't know why this doesn't look right.
We had this one earlier, but we didn't. This earlier. Agapao. Okay. What we had earlier was
agape,
which is love. This is to love.
To love.
Mm-hmm.
I love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In all the verbs, do they, or I, is it always end in O?
First person singular.
Yeah. Just like Latin.
Okay, Sophia. All right, so you know.
You're going to pick this right up. You're going to be teaching this next year. Okay, here we go. Kaleo. Kaleo. Which means to call.
To call?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did
you need to copy something he just wrote?
No, I
don't.
Oh.
There's one we haven't had yet.
Sold. I have a hard time with that one.
Yeah, I know. A lot of these I really do, and you just end up cheating and making them English almost. Okay, that's it. Diakonos. Yeah, deacon. So when you hear somebody talk about the diaconate, they're talking about the deacons, the deaconhood. We can coin a phrase here.
Here's another one. Kappa, alpha, rho, cardia. Cardiology, cardiac, cardia.
What does it mean? Heart.
Heart. Mm-hmm. Not Cadillac, cardiac. There are a couple of rows, a couple of alphas. Character. Close. Character. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Specifically, it means an exact representation. The word means exact representation. We have taken it and just transliterated right over, and we'll call it character.
Pronounce it again.
Character.
Like where we say that Christ
is the exact representation. This is the word used. So we got diakonos, cardia, character.
What cardia again? Heart?
Heart. Kronos.
Yeah.
This is not the Klingon homeworld. Kronos is something different. Kronos. What is Kronos?
Time.
Time, sure.
And that's a proper?
Hmm?
Oh, never mind. That's.
Yeah.
Like chronology.
Chronology, chronograph, chronometer. Yeah. That is Kronos. Yeah, we've got a couple of minutes. We'll go through a couple of freebies here. Couldn't tell you. I don't know. Sophia, when did Latin come back? When did that originate? Because Greek.
Greek is before.
That's what I'm thinking, because I know Greek was at least the time of actually Philip of Macedon, which predated Alexander. So we're talking 300 BC. I'm not sure when Latin came in. What's this one here?
Psyche.
Yeah. Psyche means soul. Okay? Psyche is a derivative. We also get psychology from this. And it goes on.
It doesn't also mean life?
Probably. There's a couple other words that you use for life. Zoe is one. I had both of them over here. We didn't use them. Bios, from biology, we get that. And Zoe, or a couple from life. This is probably more of the lexical form and definition than we have derivatives as you go along as the language changes. Let's see here. We got any. There's a couple. Just two or three more, then we'll wrap it up. Mikros. Yeah, mikros. You're getting pretty good at this. That means mikros means small. As in a microscope. Microscopic. It's mikros. We see this and that is small. Speaking of small, we'll do a couple others real quick. Yeah. Don't know why they had the circumflex over, because it really doesn't make any difference. Puls. Small. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is false. Mm-hmm. False means light.
Light.
Yes. So why the mark over the omega?
I just put it there. Maybe a slightly different pronunciation that we're not quite capturing or something like that.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, and we get photosynthesis from that eventually. Or phosphorus. Okay, I got a couple of, I need one more to wrap this up with. Ah, there we go. I'll do this one. Philosophy. This literally, philo, anybody care to take a guess on that? You've heard this. Love. Any name come to mind when we think of philo? Philadelphia, city of Adelphos is the brothers. The love, brotherly love, city of brotherly love. That's just a, I'm just breaking it, I'm breaking the words in half. Yeah. Sophia, yeah, is wisdom. So, this is the love of wisdom.
Did you see the grin on her face?
Yes, I saw that. So literally, gang, this is the love of wisdom. It's not agape, Sophia. It's not an unbridled, godly, pure love of wisdom. It's a just a love of wisdom. It's like we love our hobbies or love our new couch or our new TV. Okay.
So we just kind of love you.
We're like, we love you and the Lord. Don't you just hate when somebody tells you that? That means the hammer is coming down. Somebody says that. Okay, guys. Tonight, just to wrap up, we have just started to look a little bit at vocabulary words. We've tried to make some connections and a few loose ends at the very beginning, and I apologize that they were very loose, but there are a few things that as you come home and start to think about that, you think, yeah, you know, some of the stuff maybe to, you know, to fit together a little bit. I purposely chose vocabulary words that we know. Primarily, those are the ones I know, but they're also the ones you know. And I have a thing in teaching that I always like to go from the known and take you to the unknown, and try to do that with any, you know, class situation I find myself in. Was that? Yeah.
Who's unknown, Randy? Our unknown or your unknown?
In this case, sometimes it's my unknown. I'll be honest with you. You know, I don't proclaim to be an expert in this. Just somebody that's had a few classes in it and struggled through some books in the Bible, one word at a time, quite literally, to try to find their meaning. But you know, when you do that, you can really come into I think a really good appreciation for the word and the value of it. So hopefully by the end of the course, I'm going to try to make a word list up, you know, just some handouts and things, and a little study guide I put together many years ago that I'm re-editing now to go through and correct some things. So shortly after the end of the course, we'll try and make some of those available for whoever wants one. So between now and the next 3 weeks, we'll get an idea for whoever wants those things and all that. These word lists are kind of hard to make up because if your computer is set up like mine, you can't just type this in. Okay, you go to a insert symbol little drop-down menu, and you plug it in there one at a time. Okay, I started to do this last week, and I said I will never get this done by this week. I had hoped to have some handouts for you tonight, but we didn't, so we opted to do it this way, which I think in the long run is maybe just as valuable because you get a chance to practice writing it, and you kind of become one with it. And I said we're going to have some fun here. Yeah, it's been a long day and a long week, guys. Let's all stand and pray, please, and be dismissed. Brother Tim, would you do the honors of dismissing us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your incredible love for us. We want to praise you and glorify you, for you are a holy God. And Lord, we are astounded that you would love us. We praise you for it. It is all due to your grace and your grace alone, and we thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Randy and his teaching us. And Lord, may we gain from this and put this knowledge into practice. that we might know your word and understand what you have communicated to us. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of gathering together as we go our way, Lord. May we live to your glory. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.